down to business on Newstalk
with Electric Ireland, giving your business flexible tailored solutions for gas and electricity. Search Electric Ireland Business.
Delighted to welcome to the executive chair this week Patrick Atkinson. He's the CEO of Grafton Merchanting, Republic of Ireland, part of the Grafton Group. Patrick, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning, Bobby.
Now, if you just help me clarify things at the start, I know your part of the group looks after Chadwicks, Heaton, Buckley, Panelling Centre, Samhire. So you're more trade and hire and everything non-retail.
Exactly.
Woodies and the other boys are part of the same group, but they're over in another division.
Yeah, they're in the retail side.
And approximately, you've got 49 outlets in the Republic of Ireland and you employ 1,300 people. So
correct.
It's a sizable part of the Grafton
group.
Yeah,
it's a chunky piece. Yeah. So the Chadwicks and Heaton Buckley will be the core piece of it, which is the builder's merchanting side. Well over 100 years old in this market. And then we have some destination brands like Davies over on in Raheny, Cork Builders Providers, Telford's, and we have a panelling centre which is all about kitchens. So,
okay.
So it's quite diverse.
We'll come back to that in
okay,
a second
sure.
Because, I like to know the man behind the executive chair. You're a Wexford man originally from Crossabeg. I know that's near Oilgate and not far from Enniscorthy. You started strawberry picking at the age of 9, so a good Wexford trade to take up at an early age.
Absolutely, yeah. I grew up on a farm, and working, you know, was part of what happened every day. So
yeah.
Anything that brought in some money for a young kid about 9 years old, I think I ate more than I probably picked, so I wasn't the most profitable.
And that was when you think about it, back in those days, even. You know, a very manual, short, intensive, like the season could be as
sure.
short of a couple as a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, it was very short.
Yeah.
And backbreaking, you know.
Yeah, no, and then your first real job then, let's call it, if we could call it that, what was that? You started in Master Foods,
yeah.
You went from strawberries to dog food, was it, or Mars bars?
There was a bit of a journey in between, yeah, but in my last year in college, I was lucky enough to start working with Master Foods for their 6-month intro program, and I stayed working with them for the rest of that year.
Great company, aren't
great
they?
Company,
in the sense that they're a real individual company as well. They've got all these brands that are great, but don't really seem to have any connection with each other. Whereas you can have, like, as I say, confectionery and dog food, and they've all sorts of things.
Yeah, and food services. They've
and of course,
massive.
Privately owned still, isn't
still,
that right?
Still owned by the Morris family. Yeah, very much so. But the what was fantastic about it for me was the sales training that you got was second to none. They just took you in. It was really intensive and it was super. And it really stands to you for the rest of your life
if you
get a good start in your life. You know?
Yeah.
So I went and worked with them in the US after that for 3 years, so which was great.
Great.
Really good experience.
Tell me about your time in Paris with Saint-Gobain.
So Saint-Gobain is a huge French, you know, 300, second oldest company in the world. 353 years old, I think, this year. Fantastic. Big, diverse, multinational. So I was global marketing head for them. I'd worked with their Irish division here for 3 years. And it was super. It was, you know, a lot of travel, though. I was traveling about 40 countries every year.
Right.
Quite intensive. A lot of that was all happening during the recession that we were all having in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So, you know, looking after the emerging markets was and building them up was a key part of that role. So, and then refocusing on the mature markets.
Not to dwell on it, but the recession was a difficult time. And you've been in, you know, you worked in Wavin Pipes, you worked in gypsum. You've been in the kind of building game, let's call it. For quite a number of years.
Yeah.
That must have been meteoric, the fall, almost, you know, from one month to the next, in terms of the complete bottom falling out of the whole business.
Yeah, and absolutely. Obviously it affected the whole market here, but all of Europe, North America, it was phenomenally devastating to the construction industry. And obviously being in the building materials side, that knock on from that was significant. And where the markets were still strong, which was Eastern Europe, South America, there wasn't enough presence of the European manufacturers down there. So
you couldn't really pick up another market to displace us.
Yeah, exactly. So normally you might have the US on a bit of a recession and Europe high, but just the whole Western world got hit.
Tell us about the sort of the model. You know, if you take Chadwicks, Heaton Buckley, Samhire, you're dealing with trades lads, builders, fellas who employ one and two people.
That's right.
often people who maybe lived on credit, and credit is a big part of that business, where and managing that must be a challenge.
Well, merchanting in itself is very much, it does two main things. It breaks bulk and give credit to the trade, and that's primarily what it's existed on. It's becoming a little bit more sophisticated now. It offers an awful lot more, but the, you know, if you got to think about it, there's about 50,000 construction companies in this country. 70% of them are one man.
Wow.
So what we call the white van man who comes in and does your plumbing or your carpentry or whatever. He's our man, absolutely. Yeah, and we very much cater to him. There's only 2% of those 50,000 have more than 10 people.
Isn't that amazing?
It's a very fragmented industry, you know, in terms of that.
What about the sort of, I suppose, the non-trade guy, DIY? Where is that now? Do people, like, there's certainly been times in the past where DIY has been very popular.
Yeah.
You don't want people like me who've got loads of confidence and no ability, which is probably the worst thing you can do, because it means you'll attempt jobs and screw them up. But are we a nation of DIYers? Not really, I would suggest.
Not really. I think we're moving away from it. And I think people are more likely to get somebody in to do a job now of any significance. We may have a go at painting or doing some things, but beyond that, not really. So the DIY, to do it yourself, it's turned into, so we offer a kind of a buy it yourself. So people come down and they choose something and then they get somebody to install it or to choose it yourself, where you get... You buy it and your builder will pay for it.
And is there a fine line between picking that product and saying, do you know, I might have a go at this, or I better get the professional in?
Look, I'm sure there are many, many, many stories of guys who had a go, you know, and it can work out, but it can be disastrous as well.
So you call a market the residential RMI market, which is repair, maintenance and improvement. So is that how you categorize your business?
Yeah, no.
That the customer is doing one of those things?
There's two sides. No, there's new build, which is a significant part of the business as well. But the RMI piece, so people who are renovating their homes, obviously they need to buy new materials to refresh their houses and they come to us for those. But also the first time, the new build builder is very much part of our core customer group.
We've talked a lot this morning, Patrick, about online and online selling. Has online infiltrated into your business? Do people buy boxes of nails and God knows what?
It's at the very, very early stages of it. You know, the construction industry is the second least digitized industry in the world.
Is it?
Yeah. Forestry is the least, believe it or not. But it's at starting that journey now, and part of our journey over the next few years to digitize the business completely.
Right, right. And again, the type of businesses that you have, my vision of them is lots of square feet, big sort of big spaces.
Yeah,
a lot of property at play in a lot of these sites, the 49 sites you have across the country.
Yeah, a lot of traditional builders, merchants would have been on 3, 4, 5 acres and more. What we've introduced in the last couple of years is what we call our small box format, our Chadwick's Express, which is really a collection point. So we put them in areas where there's a lot of building going on and people can come and collect quite easily. So, and it's easier to find that sort of space, particularly in the centre of Dublin. So we've one down East Wall Road, which we put up. You won't get 4 or 5 acres in East Wall Road anymore to put in builders merchants.
And do you think that's the model of the future?
I think so. Yeah.
So smaller footprints.
Yeah, and using better logistics then to serve the customer. In a better
place.
Sites,
and not holding all this stock in all these various places around the country.
Because they're just not available. You know?
Yeah.
So if you want to be where the building's going on, property's just, it's prohibitive now.
What about the challenges that you have, Patrick? Keeping your leadership position in a very competitive and I'd suggest price-sensitive market. How do you go about that? And it sounds glib, but...
Sure.
When you're number one, there's always a fella there to take your lunch.
Absolutely. And our objective is to just make things better all the time. So we spend a lot of time talking to our customers, understanding where the pinch points are for them. And we just try and make it better. So we're doing a complete refurb of all our stores. We have a 3-year rollout of that. And we've just started in the Dublin area. And again, as I say, the digitization of that, using digital to communicate and to take the pinch points out of our customers' issues.
And finally, Patrick, are you seeing in your business all this house building that we're trying to do, that we're struggling to do? Are you seeing it on the ground when you talk about the man with the van there coming in, buying what he needs for the next job? Are we back there, or what's your take on where we are?
You know, at the peak we were building 90,000 houses. We'll probably build somewhere short of 18,000 this year
in reality.
But one of the biggest constraints we have are skills. You know, we've less skilled people in the country and not enough people coming through apprenticeship programs.
And I was delighted to see that you've got your own apprenticeship program within the Grafton Merchanting traineeship.
That's right. We just launched that last month. So we've got 20 people on a traineeship with the Dublin Dunleary Training and Learning Centre.
Well done. I'm a huge believer in it, and I think it's a great opportunity for any young lad or girl thinking about a career. Patrick Atkinson, folks.